Co-buying a house. What's this trend all about? We're going to talk about it on Today in Mortgages. Hey, what's up, Dreamers? Welcome back to the show. We're talking about what's real, what's hype, and what you should actually be paying attention to out there in the world of mortgage and real estate news. And today, I got Rich back in the studio with me today. Again, he stayed here all week. And so we're back talking today about something interesting, Rich. I hadn't heard that this was as big of a deal as it is. I was kind of shocked by it. We're talking about co-buying a house. What is co-buying a house, Rich?
Co-buying is when you use somebody as a co-borrower that is not your spouse. And it's 26% of all purchases in 2023.
Yeah, which is a mind-boggling number to me. That's way higher than I would have expected it to be. So what we're looking at is an article. We found it on CNET. The article is titled, "More People Are Co-Buying Homes with Friends, Siblings, or Romantic Partners. Should You?" So Rich, when we look at that, like you said, it's not someone that they're married to. Maybe it's they're cohabitating with their partner.
Fiance.
Fiancés maybe. But we also, you know, this article kind of goes into some weird scenarios that were unique, but just kind of on a top level, people that they're not married to could be a friend, could be multiple friends, multiple borrowers on the same loan. This one talks about three people that went in together to buy a home. In my mind, this is kind of a crazy deal, but Rich, you know, why is it happening?
Hey, man, people are crafty.
Yeah.
Home prices are high.
Sure.
Affordability is rough. You have to make, as a single buyer, you have to make a pretty good amount of money to be able to afford a home today.
Yeah.
And so buyers are getting crafty. They're getting where they're making investments with their friends into housing. And, you know, there are a lot of pros to that approach, right? It's you're qualifying with with combined income, you're qualifying with combined assets. So the down payment and the qualifications are a little bit easier. The income is easier because there's more of it, you know, three or four borrowers. It's a good way, but you really have to choose your purchasing partner carefully.
Right. Because I guess when you're buying with a spouse, there's a legal marriage agreement and a lot of, you know, our economy and the rules around how assets are split in some sort of, you know, divorce scenario or whatever it might be. Like, there's legal parameters around that, whereas there might not be in this situation. So it seems like you should do a lot of work up front if this is something that you're going to do, to build those parameters around that, have a signed agreement. Hey, this is what we're going to do in these cases. Almost like a prenup for the house.
Kind of. I mean, just think about it, Michael. You've had a roommate in the past, right?
Right.
Would you ever buy a home with that person?
I would not. That person would not buy a home with me either.
Exactly. So that's where it gets difficult. Generally, these are close friends.
Sure.
Or they have other shared investments.
Right.
Like, they have experienced each other's habits in terms of financial habits, how they pay their bills, what kind of income they earn and how they spend their money and just how responsible they are. So this is a really powerful way to do it if you have the right partners. Like I said, lots of pros to it. And it's not easier to qualify because you've got basically, you know, with three buyers, co-borrowers, you have three different applications because they're not married. So every piece of the loan is basically underwritten three times because you're underwriting every borrower, even though the income and the assets are shared to qualify. You're still underwriting the credit profile of each individual borrower. So it's not an easy qualification. It requires a great originator, preferably one with network funding, but we do them. It happens all the time. Because we talked about fiancés. That's pretty common right now today. People don't want, maybe they're not getting married for a couple of years. Mm. Or maybe they're not going to save for their wedding until they purchase their home. So they're often doing it. We see it all the time. It's just, you got to understand your co-borrower.
Right.
You really have to have a personal relationship.
Yeah.
And to be, because things happen. Jobs are lost. And that could affect everybody. Because keep in mind, just because you're a co-borrower on the loan doesn't mean you're just as accountable to all the other borrowers and to the mortgage.
Right.
Right? Because it reports to all three of your credit reports. So how many times did a roommate not have enough to make their half of the rent?
Right.
This is really different because that means if one can't do it for whatever job law, then the other two have to pick up the pieces and make the payment because one late pay reports to all the credit reports.
Right.
So it's very important to choose your partner, but it is a very crafty way to get it done today.
Super interesting. I didn't realize that you'd be, I mean, it makes sense that you would have to underwrite each one of those and consider each one's credit. And obviously, like you said, some of the advantages, you know, even in a marriage situation, two incomes better than one, right? You got two people making money, you have more assets to buy the house, you know, put three, four borrowers on a loan, then, you know, you can qualify for more. But to your point, there's a lot of risk there. Not only losing a job, but hey, I got a new job in a different city and I want to move, right?
Right.
So if someone were to do this, I would assume that kind of the best way to get out of that later is to refinance under someone else or just sell the house.
Yeah, sell or refinance. Hopefully one of the other partners in the transaction can qualify for a refinance on their own. Otherwise, right, you're going to sell the property.
Yeah, and I think, you know, maybe as professionals, the way we can look at this is just saying, hey, if this situation comes up, like, be able to speak to, hey, I want to be the professional here and guiding you through not only the loan process, but hey, what's the consequences in the agreement so that hopefully we can, you know, maintain that relationship no matter what happens in the future. Hopefully it'll be a great experience, but, you know.
And most are. Right. It's just you have to go into it prepared. In fact, this article talks about, you know, they have recommendations to seek an attorney.
Sure.
Because you wouldn't open a business with three partners without an attorney involved to identify exactly who's accountable and responsible and what happens in those events, because that attorney would draw it out. So you have a plan. Yeah. There's agreements up front if one should fail. You definitely want to consult an attorney just to make an arrangement should the worst case, you know, situations happen later in the process.
Yeah, and that can be an awkward conversation, but if you're entering into that agreement, just like you said, with a business partner, those things need to happen on the front end so that we can know how we're going to respond in the future. And so as professionals, obviously, they're going to need to seek that legal advice as well, but you can kind of guide them on how to approach that and be not only the professional is going to get them into the house, but it's going to create a positive future moving forward and be that, you know, coach to them and provide that extra value, because, you know, that's what's going far right now in such a competitive market, is just being the pro that can give pro advice.
Yeah. And we do plenty of those at Network Funding.
Yeah.
And so we have experience with them. So just, I would reach out to one of our originators, so they know how to get them done. They do them. And just be careful. Yeah. Choose your partner carefully.
Yeah. We always say, like, you know, your home purchase, no matter who you are, is going to be one of the biggest purchases you make in your life. And so you don't want to go into that in any situation without having thought through everything.
Yeah.
So this is just adding another layer on that. So Rich, I don't know if this is something I would do. I don't know that I would ever be presented this opportunity, but it is an option. And it's more common now just because of the environment we're in.
Yeah, it is. Prices. But, you know, this has been going on for a very long time. There are investment groups to buy homes together.
Yeah.
But again, they have agreements up front, written legal agreements up front about accountabilities and responsibilities and what happens in the worst case situation. So just make sure you get that done. If you're going to do it with a group of friends, might be a little bit different if it's your fiance, but still there are issues. I mean, relationships end prior to marriage a lot of times. Yeah. So you just have to make sure you have a plan of who's going to be accountable for what up front. And that makes the whole process better because everybody knows right now what their responsibility is.
Sure. All right, well, this one was a little bit different. This is a fun episode, just something interesting to talk about that we saw pop up in the news, but it might be something that a borrower or buyer out there asks you about, and it's good to know how to respond. So that's why we want to talk about here today. Rich, thanks for making me smarter. I learned some things today about how that's approached. And so if you guys are out there and you enjoy this kind of pro advice that we are talking about and want to be more pro in your business, click the Grow link below and see what it's like to be a part of the best network in mortgages and get more advice and insight like this from Rich and other professionals at our company that are coaching and teaching all the time to make our best even better. Rich, appreciate you being here. Thanks again for joining us here in the studio. We're going to be remote again next week. We hope you will join us to talk more about what's happening out there in the world of mortgage and real estate news. Until then, we'll see you on Today in Mortgages. Mortgages is produced by Network Funding LP, which is an equal housing lender, NMLS 2297. The content of this program is meant to be a commentary on mortgage and real estate news, and any discussion of rates and or products should not be taken as an individual mortgage or home buying advice or pricing estimates. and any commentary on this show should not be considered a promise to make a loan. All applicants for a loan must qualify, and you should consult a professional regarding your individual loan scenarios for your financial situation. Visit our website at nflp.com/licenses for all state licensing and other legal information.